This is Andrew Schultz. I'm the sales manager for CHS Ag Services. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Jamie Dickerman. We begin with Harvest Hotline. Harvest Hotline is sponsored by the North Dakota Mill, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, and U.S. Custom Harvesters. Severe storms over the weekend brought both moisture and significant winds through the Red River Valley that damaged crops and fields alike. Bayer Technical Product Manager Grant Mehring says the wheat around Fargo did take a hit from the storms.
Wheat is in the worst place for lodging that it could. And so because it's filling grain in the head, the wheat harvest will be relatively ahead of schedule, I think. You know, there's wheat in southeast North Dakota that looks like it should be harvested within a few days, if not a week. And that wheat is heavy. Those heads are heavy. And when you get a wind and a rain on it, that stuff tips over and lodges. For the last 2 weeks, I've seen a fair few fields that have been in the rain band in southeast North Dakota that are lodged. So unfortunately, you might be dealing with more lodging in your wheat because of these storms. And then in addition, there's a big system coming through right now, dropping, you know, 60, 70 mile an hour winds, western North Dakota. And however those winds shake out as they come, those are also surely lodging wheat in that area.
Mehring says wheat harvest has not begun in North Dakota yet, but it's getting very close.
I have not heard of any winter wheat fields being harvested yet, although there are some winter wheat fields in my territory, in Cass County and Richland County and Ransom Sargent. But I do think that judging by what the rye looks like and judging by what the spring wheat looks like, there's going to be a good amount of yield in our wheat crop, because there's been periods of hot, periods of cold. But on the whole, this spring was kind of a wheat crop spring. So I would expect a pretty good wheat crop. And then moving north of Highway 200 or something, north of Hillsboro, yeah, we're in more of a drier pattern for a lot of the year so far. So the wheat yields might not be quite as high as we'd like them to be, but I think we might have caught just enough rain early enough that we're going to fill pretty big seeds on those heads. So I think even the northern wheat crop should be pretty solid.
Timely rains and a much-needed warm-up improving crop conditions in northeast North Dakota. Pioneer field agronomist Christy Sundin said rainfall last week was critical, especially in areas that had been well below normal.
For the beginning of last week, most of my area was sitting in that 30 to 50% of normal rainfall. So the rain we got last week was kind of a lifesaver for us. It really has helped push things along. The soybeans are finally starting to come around. Corn is finally starting to move. Last week's really helped out the corn a lot, because if you look at earlier in July there, you know, we even had some nighttime temperatures down in the 30s, and corn and soybeans don't like it cool. I mean, they like it when it's warm, and lacking those heat units during the middle of July was a little bit concerning, but things are finally starting to come around.
Sundin says the recent stretch of heat also gave a needed boost to crop development. As for the harvest, some fields are nearly ready.
There is some wheat randomly here and there that has gotten sprayed with pre-harvest. Roundup, there is some other areas that I would say by the end of this next week we'll start seeing some more activity in that. Same with barley. Barley has really started to move along, especially with the heat last week. So I would say harvest is probably about 2 weeks out right now for the small grain.
Harvest Hotline, sponsored by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, North Dakota Mill, and U.S. Custom Harvesters.
A severe weather threat is developing across the region, especially in southeast North Dakota and northeast South Dakota. Grand Forks National Weather Service meteorologist Austin Perot says the setup is one rarely seen in the northern plains.
We are usually good for one or two of these types of environments, generally, at least, especially in the northern plains, once or twice a summer. The bulk of the threat looks to be mainly in northeast South Dakota. We've kind of seen that threat shift more and more south. There still is the threat in the eastern North Dakota and northwest Minnesota side for showers and thunderstorms and some isolated damaging wind gusts and large hail. But it looks to be the more significant threat is going to be more towards the south. And down there, that's where they're kind of anticipating potential for a much more widespread swath of damaging wind gusts approaching 80 miles per hour or more.
While similar to a storm system earlier this summer, Perot says this one is less likely to spin up tornadoes.
The only major difference between that one and this one is we're not really expecting kind of that tornado threat like we saw back on June 20th. This would be much more of just the damaging wind threats that came in behind those severe thunderstorms that impacted the Cheyenne River Valley.
Farmers near Amarillo, North Dakota, assessing crop conditions after weekend storms brought wind and heavy rain. Area farmer Jared Hangert says the storm caused minor issues, but most wheat should bounce back.
Some of the wheat got toughed up a little bit. You know, I think most of that'll stand back up. It's not flat by any stretch of the imagination. We do have some oats that are down though. You know, and so that'll make things a little bit more eventful when we get to swath in that.
Crop progress overall looking decent, but Hangert says certain fields have taken a hit from saturated soils, especially edible beans.
Excess of moisture in our area has really been pretty hard on the edible bean crop out here, especially the ground that isn't drain tiled. You know, low spots are pretty much gone, and it's going to end up fostering quite a bit of disease in what's left.
Heavy rainfall continues to raise concerns for soybean and dry bean crops near Thompson, North Dakota. Farmer Tim Schumacher says moisture levels are becoming excessive and could trigger disease issues.
It needs to quit raining. I mean, the dry beans and the soybeans are full of water. I mean, full. I mean, we need some dry, windy weather, and they'll recover some. I'm sure white mold is going to be prevalent in both of those crops this year. So we've seen a lot of mushrooms growing in the lawn already. That's the first indicator. So,
despite the soggy conditions, Schumacher says other crops are holding up better, and wheat fields have not seen major damage from the weekend storm.
There's some isolated pockets in some fields laid down, but nothing real bad, at least that I've seen this morning anyway.
World Weather Incorporated reporting weather conditions for corn and soybeans remaining mostly favorable across the U.S. However, cooler temperatures are slowing down, drying, and could raise concerns about excess moisture in some areas. Globally, China's east central region is dry with limited relief expected soon. Russia's crops doing well, but some northern areas need drying to avoid harvest delays. India's monsoon is supporting crops. Those central regions would benefit from less rain and more sun. This is the Red River Farm Network. See what's new in agriculture at this year's Minnesota Farm Fest, August 5th through the 7th in Redwood County. Farm Fest brings hundreds of agribusinesses to exhibit their most innovative technologies. Don't miss this chance to learn, research, or even make a purchase. Learn more about AI in agriculture and meet the millennial farmer at the Farm Fest forums. Come discover what's new with the community that keeps you growing. Only at Farm Fest. Get tickets at farmfest.com and receive a discount online with code RADIO25 at checkout.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. A desiccant is commonly used in canola. BASF business rep Jordan Dilsey says there are advantages to using Sharpen.
One of the biggest advantages with Sharpen is you're going to help with dry down and you have a 3-day pre-harvest interval. Your best efficacy is going to be around 7 to 10 days when it's going to be the easiest to cut. But if need be, you have a hailstorm coming in or inclement weather coming in, you can get in that field within 3 days after applying Sharpen. So that's the only time you'd have to hold out, where a lot of your other products, you go out, say it's 2 weeks for Roundup, it's going to take a long time for you to get in that field once you apply Roundup.
As a harvest aid, Sharpen will help dry down the crop and improve harvest efficiency.
I would go out at 2 ounces with about a pint and a half of MSO and 15 to 20 gallons, because that canopy is so thick, you got to get that Sharpen into the canopy to dry it down as far as you can. And we still probably won't totally kill the stalks, but with canola, we're able to harvest a little higher, and what you're putting through the combine will actually be drier than letting it ripen even or by itself.
The Federal Reserve is expected to hold interest rates steady at this week's monthly meeting. That announcement will be made Wednesday. This past week, President Trump visiting the Fed building in Washington to pressure Fed Chair Jerome Powell to lower interest rates. It was the first time a sitting president visited the Fed in over 20 years.
USDA's annual farm production expenditures report shows slightly lower costs for producers in 2024. Lance Honig with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service says the report reflects what it takes to keep a farm running.
What are farmers and ranchers spending on an ongoing basis to make their operations work? Inputs into livestock or crop-related operations, rent, fuel costs, seed costs, livestock feed, and everything in between.
The report found farm production expenses totaled $477 billion last year, down just under 1%. Of the over $477 billion in farm production expenses last year, $230 billion consisted of feed, farm services, labor, and livestock and poultry-related expenses. On average, farm spending was also down slightly from 2023.
USDA reports are considered the gold standard for data collection. However, a new report from the American Farm Bureau Market Intel, the drop-off in survey responses is putting the integrity of the information at risk. The study found the response rate for crop production reports dropping from 80 to 85% in the 1990s to 46% last year. For the monthly cattle on feed reports, USDA increasing the number of surveys in 2019. From that starting point, survey response rates are down 8% to 56%. USDA has taken steps to improve this track record by offering online surveys and shorter questionnaires. The Farm Bureau reports encouraging USDA leaders to consider ways to increase participation and support the reliability of this data.
As Congress heads into its August recess, American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duval is urging farmers to make their voices heard on key issues facing agriculture this fall.
It is important for farmers to meet with lawmakers and share the importance of passing the farm bill and finding a solution to our ongoing agricultural labor crisis. Together, we can strengthen agriculture for the good of our families, our communities, and our country.
Duval emphasized that the August recess offers a crucial opportunity for farmers to connect directly with their representatives and stress how decisions in Washington impact food production and rural America.
August recess is a prime time for our farmers to make their voices heard. It's critical for lawmakers to hear how their decisions on Capitol Hill directly impact our ability to grow food, fiber, and renewable fuel.
Critics speaking out against the USDA reorganization plan announced last week by Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins, Senator Amy Klobuchar, the top Democrat on the Senate Ag Committee, calling the plan a half-baked proposal, and demanded USDA officials appear before Congress. She warned the changes could hurt USDA's ability to serve farmers and families. Rebecca Wolf of Food and Water Watch said the reorganization weakens the government's role in protecting public health, the environment, and food safety. Secretary Rollins says the plan aims to cut costs, noting some staff may face lower salaries due to relocations outside of Washington, D.C. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The Minnesota Soil Health Coalition is hosting its premier soil health school this week at Redwood Falls. The two-day program will feature education on soil testing and health management. Executive Director Mark Gutierrez says it all kicks off today with a tour of the Breitkreutz farm in Redwood Falls.
We're hosting a live demonstration on how to melt urea in a 1,200-gallon tank and talking about the ways you can apply it. We're going to demonstrate it. We're going to show how examples of how corn looks after it's been applied. We're going to talk about the pros, cons, challenges, and how to calculate your mixes, benefits, economics, the whole gamut.
The event has a lot to offer farmers about soil health and management.
Tomorrow and Wednesday soil school, we have a really great lineup. We're kicking it off with Ray Archuleta. We're going to be out looking at Grant and Don's pasture, talking about how they manage it at the high level, how it makes a difference, what it's meant for their farm and what it means for their soil health. We're going to again touch on the economics of that, and we're going to be out with Rick Bieber talking about cover crops, really doing a deep dive in different mixes, what the value of each crop is, why you need mixes, really a deep dive into cover crops with Rick. In the afternoon, we're going to be in a classroom setting with Lance Gunderson, the owner of Regen Ag Labs, talking about soil testing and a deep dive into nutrients, really explaining to farmers who are ready to take their farm to the next level the why and the how.
Checking quotes for you. September wheat, Minneapolis, down 3 cents to 581¾. Chicago September wheat's up a quarter to 538½. KC hard red winter wheat's even so far at 526½. September corn, 6½ cents lower at 393 even. September soybeans down 9½ to 992½. November canola in Winnipeg's down $1.30 per metric ton to $6.99.50 Canadian. On the cattle side, August live cattle up $1.90 to $228.37. August feeders up $2.92 at $334.30. October hogs up 22 cents to $90.82. Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 98 points right now, 44,803. Crude oil up 137 points to 66.53. Reporting agriculture's business, this is the Red River Farm Network.